Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Holy Spirit is showing them that he is going to have difficulties and problems in Jerusalem. So they interpret that as saying, don't go. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There is a conflict between those who believe that Paul is obedient by going to Jerusalem and those who believe that Paul is disobedient by going to Jerusalem.
The Holy Spirit warned Paul many times not to go here or there, and Paul, though not perfect, always served with an obedient heart, ready to withstand whatever persecution awaited him, because he knew the Lord was with him, and because of his great love for people and desire to see them come to Christ. With more on God's warnings and how we should respond, here's Robert Furrow with Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 25.
You can open up your Bibles with me, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 21. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 26, and I'm going to throw in a Lord willing there today. I often bite off more than I can finish passage-wise. I've already done it once, so let's pray. Let's ask God to do it again. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray I would just be able to communicate the truth of your word. And Lord, we ask that you'd meet us here. Challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us. Your word is alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's strong. It is life-changing. And Lord, we pray that you would apply the truths that we find here. As Paul seems to be warned about going to Jerusalem, and yet he goes anyway. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our study in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 21, making our way line by line, verse by verse through the book. We're going to be covering verses 1 through 26 today. Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. He has had his first, second, and third missionary journeys. He's gone through the area of Turkey and then over into the area of Europe, down into Greece, back over into Ephesus. And God has used him in incredible ways in bringing both Jews and Gentiles to Christ. We saw that everywhere he went, he would go to the Jew first, and then he would go to the Gentiles. But something happened to Paul when he was in Ephesus, and the gospel spread throughout the entire region of Asia, which would be what we would call modern-day Turkey today, in a really powerful way, and Paul determined he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit began to warn him, or to inform him, that difficulties were awaiting him in Jerusalem. The surprising thing is that Paul goes anyway. He makes his way to Jerusalem, even though through prophecy, through the Holy Spirit in his own heart, warns him or informs him that there's going to be difficulties. He makes his way anyway. So the title of our message today is Paul is warned about his trip to Jerusalem. Or I might like to use the word informed rather than being warned. God wanted him to be prepared for what he was going to face when he was there. Now I have a second title, and that second title is, why did he go? If he's warned over and over again, tribulations, even chains, await you in Jerusalem, why would he end up going? And I hope to answer that question for you by the time that we get here. Now our text is going to take us from Paul setting sail from Miletus, where he's met the Ephesian elders. This was our study last week, where he said, ravenous wolves are going to come in. I'm leaving you. Ravenous wolves are going to come in, and men are going to rise up from among you within yourself, and they're going to draw people to themselves. And then Paul leaves them and sails east. He makes several stops. He takes ships there, and we're going to get his travel itinerary. Luke's going to continue to give us his itinerary. He's going to end up, by the end of our study, in Jerusalem, and he's going to get warnings all along the way. So we pick it up in verse 1 of Acts chapter 21. Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail. Note the we there. That means Luke is with him. So it came to pass, because Luke's writing this, when we set sail from them, that's the elders of Ephesus that were at Miletus, After he finished warning them and encouraging them, even telling them, I will not see your face again, and they wept and they cried with them, they now set sail. And then it says, running a straight course, we came to Cos. Now, you can look up a map if you want to for this particular journey, and you can see the different places where the ship stopped. But it says, we set a straight course for Cos the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patra. And finding a ship sailing to Phoenicia, so they changed ships, we went aboard and set sail. When we had sighted Cyprus, we passed it on the left. Now, you remember that Paul's first missionary journey, they stopped at Cyprus, and they won a man named Sergius Paulus to the Lord, and there was a sorcerer that Paul had an interaction with while they were on the island. Now, the missionary journeys are done. Paul's ministry is going to change from missionary ministry to prison ministry. From here on out, Paul's going to write the letter of Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, 2 Timothy, which are all letters that are written from prison. So as he passes by Cyprus, it's like a distinct change. He had gone there on the first missionary journey. It was their first stop. And now he's passing by on the left of it, it says. And they landed in Tyre. And there, the ship was to unload her cargo. And finding disciples, we stayed 7 days. Now, we're not told of Paul ever doing any work in Tyre. What was happening while Paul was in the area of Turkey and in the area of Europe and Greece, and the gospel was spreading, and what we've been reading about through the last 15 chapters or so with Paul's missionary journeys, God was also in other places doing other things, using other people. Maybe Barnabas and John Mark, maybe some of the other disciples, maybe some of the other apostles, and the gospel was being spread in other places. We see the book of Luke, the second half especially, from the perspective of Paul, but other things are going on. This is a good lesson for us, because oftentimes we think that God's just doing what we're doing. God's moving here at Calvary Tucson, and isn't that an awesome thing? Forgetting that all over this city, God's bringing people to Christ in other churches, forgetting that God's using other cities and other towns and doing other things. And so he shows up in Tyre, and he meets some believers there. It sounds, when it's said here, it sounds like they don't really know him. They stayed with them for 7 days. So they have the same Christ. They believe in him. There's that connection and that fellowship. Then it says, they told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, this is what Paul has been receiving. This isn't the first time he's heard something like this. Don't go to Jerusalem. Here's what I think is happening with them. The Holy Spirit is showing them that he's going to have difficulties and problems in Jerusalem. So they interpret that as saying, don't go. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. There is a conflict between those who believe that Paul is obedient by going to Jerusalem and those who believe that Paul is disobedient by going to Jerusalem. I don't find the conflict personally that much of a problem, because I don't think Paul was perfect. Paul wasn't like Christ, who never had a sin, so he died on the cross for our sins and could become our substitute. So if Paul was mishearing God and misinterpreting the information, and God wanted to warn him not to go to Jerusalem, even though Paul went, God's still able to get his will done in the life of Paul, even if Paul has misinterpreted what has taken place. But I don't think that's what happened. And I want to show you why. Listen to what he said one chapter earlier. He's with the Ephesian elders and pastors, and in Acts 20, verses 22 to 24, and listen to this now, here's what he says to them. And see now, he says to these elders, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Note the way he worded that. He said, I am going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit. What does the word bound mean? To be tied up. He's like, I have to go to Jerusalem. I am bound in the Spirit to go, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. He doesn't know all the things that are going to happen, but he knows it's not going to be good. Except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. Now, this is not completely different to what you and I have received through the Word of God. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, rejoice when you are persecuted, when people spitefully use you. Job in the Old Testament said, even though I die, I will serve him. Basically, he's saying, if I die tomorrow serving Christ, I will serve him because that's what I want. So Paul is completely surrendered to God no matter what would come his way. And if God wants to use him in freedom in missionary work, and then God wants to use him bound in prison, sending letters out, then Paul's ready for that. So Paul said in two different places, both in 1 Timothy and in Philippi, these are prison epistles. Paul said, the gospel is not bound. He might have been bound, but the gospel wasn't bound. God doesn't always use us in the way that we want to be used. Sometimes God uses us through difficulties and tribulation, and it seems like Paul was ready for that. Now we go one chapter earlier when the work at Ephesus has become so powerful, it's reaching the entire continent of Asia or the entire region of Asia, and powerful things are being done. And then remember the riot that took place with the silversmith? So right after that, here's what it says. This is Acts 19:21. When these things were accomplished, this is the riot in Ephesus. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also go to Rome. Now that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to freely go to Jerusalem, but there he will be arrested. He will be held in Caesarea for 2 years under protective arrest. When he realizes that the prefects are messing with him, he appeals to Caesar, and he will go bound as a prisoner to Rome. So these things are going to happen to him. But note again, verse 19, Paul purposed in the Spirit that he was going to go. What do I think is happening with these disciples that are there at Tyre? I think the Spirit is revealing to them that Paul's having trouble and difficulty when he gets to Jerusalem, and their interpretation of that is don't go. And so they say it continually. It's how it says it in the Greek. Don't go. Don't go. Just like we perceive that someone might be doing something for the sake of the gospel. Maybe they're going to go into a Muslim country and we might encourage them, don't go. But God's desire is that they would go, even though there are going to be difficulties that they're going to face there. I think that's what's happening. Now, we pick it up in verse 5. We want to make our way through the rest of this. We continue getting the itinerary. And then Paul shows up in Jerusalem, talks to the brethren who are there. Then they have something they want him to do. Let's pick it up in verse 5. When he had come to the end of these days, those 7 days he stayed with those in Tyre, he departed and went on our way. And they all accompanied us and the wives and the children till we were out of the city. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. Now they've been warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Paul's like, I'm going. So now they all walk out with him to the edge of the city, and they kneel down with their families and they pray with him. When we had taken our leave, we boarded the ship and they returned home. And when we had finished our voyage from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, greeted the brethren. So now they find some brethren in Ptolemais, which we haven't heard of yet in the book of Acts either, and stayed with them 1 day. On the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea. So this is Caesarea Maritime. It's less than a day's journey from Jerusalem. So they've made their way back east, all the way from Ephesus, and now they're in Caesarea. And we entered the house of Philip the evangelist. Now we've met Philip before. It was Philip who brought the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. It was Philip who preached the gospel to the Samaritans. And I like his title, Philip the Evangelist. And there he is staying in the area of Caesarea. It says who was one of the seven. What does it mean by one of the seven? Remember early on in church history, there were Hellenistic widows. These are Jewish widows who were more Greek in culture. And there were Jewish widows. They were both Jewish. One were more Greek in culture and the other was more Jewish in culture. And the Hellenists declared that they thought that their women were not receiving their fair share. The church took care of widows. The state didn't do it. Rome didn't do it. So the church took care of widows. And there was an accusation that went out that the Hellenistic widows were not being cared for as much as the more Jewish widows. They were all Jewish, but some were more Greek than others. And so what did they do? Remember? They chose 7 Greek men to be the first deacons to oversee the distribution of the money to the widows. Philip, being Greek, a Hellenistic Jew, was one of them. So he's one of the 7. So he shows up at Philip the Evangelist's house, one of the 7, and he stayed with him. Now we learn something about his family. Now this man had 4 virgin daughters who prophesied. And when we hear that, we think, oh, Paul's in for it again, right? He's got 4 daughters. Now Paul's going to hear what he's going to receive in Jerusalem. But God does something else, verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now, Agabus is a prophet in the style of the old prophets. When you read Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Jeremiah put on a wooden yoke and walked around the city carrying the wooden yoke. And whoever would listen to him, he had it on his shoulders, whoever would listen to him, he said, this is what's going to happen to you unless you repent. How'd you like that for a preacher? If you don't diss, you guys are going to be yoked if you don't repent. That's what he did. Now, Agabus is of this style of a prophet. You'll see what I mean. Verse 11, when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt. I wonder, Paul's like, hey, give me back my belt. Bound his hands and feet. So he took Paul's belt, tied up his own hands and feet. This is Agabus. And said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt. Now, everybody knows whose belt it is. He just took it from Paul. Thus says the Holy Spirit, he's going to be bound and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, we're going to see that this is exactly what ends up happening. It happens swiftly, but it ends up happening. Verse 12. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from the place pleaded with him that he would not go to Jerusalem. He's heard this before. What do you think Paul's response is? Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, why had Paul determined in his spirit to go to Jerusalem? Why was he so set on it, even though everywhere he's going, he's getting people telling him not to go? I believe it is because of his great heart and love for his own countrymen. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And although Jews did get saved under the work of Paul, he had a great heart for those in Jerusalem. And I think that Paul thought, if I could just share with my brethren, I mean, he knows them. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He ministered alongside of them in Jerusalem. And he thought, if I could just share with them, they'll receive Christ. Why do I think that? Listen to what Paul says in Romans. Now, the book of Romans is written while Paul is in Corinth, before he goes to Ephesus, before he determines in his spirit to go all the way to Jerusalem. So we know Paul felt this way before he ever was moved or bound in the spirit to go to Jerusalem. Listen to what he says, and listen to this carefully. This is Romans 9, 1 through 5. I tell you the truth in Christ, Paul says. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Now, he's trying to get you to believe something he's going to say, which is going to be pretty unbelievable, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed for Christ, that my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory of the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all, the eternal blessed God. Amen. Paul says, I'm going to shorten this up. I wish, and I swear to you by God that this is the truth. I wish that I could be damned for all of eternity, that my brethren could be saved, those who are Israelites. Paul had such a heart for the nation of Israel, for whom Christ had come to, whom he wanted to come to Christ, that he didn't care if he was arrested and killed. He was ready to do that if only he could give the gospel to those who were in Rome. Excuse me, in Jerusalem. And he will in Rome too. But that's what he wanted. The answer, he's told what's going to happen to him the entire way. Why did he go? Because he wanted to go. I don't know if you have ever wanted someone to come to Christ and be given eternity so much that you were willing to exchange your own salvation for it. That's what Paul says. Maybe our children, right? Lord, I'd give up my place if you just save my kids. We start to get a feel for how Paul feels about the brethren. And when I think of Paul's great love for people coming to Christ, that he's willing to be bound in chains and go to Rome and turn into a prison ministry from a missionary ministry, I wonder if we have enough of a heart for the lost. And I think, Lord, would you stir us up? Would you give us a heart for our family, for our friends, for our children, for our coworkers, that we might see them come to Christ? It's got to be a work of God, but you and I are called to plant and to water, that we might have open doors to be able to share to them. May God, through looking at Paul's heart for those in Jerusalem, may God stir up our heart for those who are lost. So we see the rest of the trip, and I think that's why Paul continues on no matter what. He has a heart for them. So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done." And so when Paul wouldn't be persuaded, he's going to Jerusalem, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." They ceased saying, not ceased saying, "The will of the Lord be done," but they ceased saying, you know, "Don't go." And they said, "The will of the Lord be done," which is what we want, right? We're all on a race. We've all been given a race to run. And whatever God wants us to do, however God wants us to minister, "The will of the Lord be done." That's a good thing to say.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.